Blog Talk Radio.
Evening and God bless. Welcome to Pancakes live on Tribe Family Channel. I am the creator and host, Beverly Black Johnson, and joining me in a few will be my co-host, Kiasi Helm. Before I introduce her, let me paint the landscape about pancakes. Almost every child loves pancakes. I know my children did, but in this case, pancakes stands for poets, artists, narrators, comedians, actors, kids, entrepreneurs, and spoken word, all coming live on Tribe. Speaking of my kids, tonight's show is dedicated to Eric. Today is his birthday, December 17th. We celebrate you. Mama loves you. Tribe Family Channel will be hosting children's authors, poets, and others who will bring educational content to our very first ever Saturday morning children's programming. Pancakes, Saturday mornings are back in action. This Thursday night premiere of Pancakes is to inform the parents of what is to come in the 2016 season one episode. My co-host, Kiasi, will be introducing tonight's guest. And before I introduce you to her, let me just give you a little bit of housekeeping rules. If at any time during this broadcast your call disconnects, simply call back and we will reconnect you. The same goes for myself and my co-host and my guest. If you find that you have disconnected, call back in and we'll start and pick up where we left off. Please turn down your speakers and tune out any background noise for this live broadcast. Let me now introduce to you my co-host. Kiasi is a high school age entrepreneur, author, and CEO in training. Currently promoting her campaign against bullying via her new publication, the Bullying Prevention Guide for Parents, Kids, and Adults. With over 12 books to her credit, she has truly found her genius. Hello, Kiasi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you today?
I am so blessed. We are very fortunate to have you live on Tribe with your anti-bullying campaign, and we want to partner with you and remind everyone to visit writtenbykids.com to join this special anti-bullying campaign. Kiasi will be introducing tonight's guest. So, Kiasi, let me turn this over to you.
Thank you. Tonight's guest is Nick Brown. Nick Brown, known mostly from his stunts on MTV's The Real World Hollywood, The Challenge, and the host of MTV Spring Break in Las Vegas, has been working his way into the music game as a songwriter for a few years now. With mentors like Grammy-nominated songwriter Jared Cotter and Grammy Award-winning songwriter Nate Waka giving him the motivation and direction he needed, he has grown into his own with the release of Leave With You, a self-written and produced catchy pop fused hip-hop single. Leave With You features upcoming R&B singer Brian B, who can be seen on this season's audition round of NBC's hit show The Voice.
Hello, Nick. How are you? Welcome live to Pancakes on Tribe.
Kiasi, that sounded so great. I wish I wrote that one myself. That sounded amazing.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing, Ms. Johnson? Can I call you Ms. Johnson?
You can call me Ms. Johnson. You can call me Ms. Beverly. I'm going to be throwing out some questions for you first, you know, starting from your, you know, young roots in Jamaica. And then Kiasi's going to take over from the high school to Hollywood era. Is that all right with you?
Sure, sure. I got a question. People are texting, how can they listen in?
They can listen in by calling 347-539-5285. They can go to tribefamilychannel.com and click on pancakes. They can go to your Twitter and see you've retweeted. Click from there. Go to tribefamilyus from Twitter. They can go to your Instagram. We're publicizing this show, and we want them to be able to join in. So have them go to any one of those social media outlets, okay?
All right. Cool.
Apparently,
the spring breakers that I know aren't that bright, obviously. So they would have picked up on that.
Well, you know what? We're going to get them under some of the literacy programs that Kiasi and I have going on, and we'll have them up to speed, okay? So by the time you come back,
they should have a degree. They should have a degree by the time you come back.
That is too funny. You are too much. Well, we are excited to start this show. So now let me begin by asking you a few questions. Kiasi's going to jump in at any time she may have before we get to her list of questions, because we are set for an exciting show. We want our listeners and our parents to know that Pancakes will be coming live January 2nd, and Kiasi Helm will be our first season guest. We will be continuing her bullying prevention program, and we want you to visit her website. We want the educators to grab volumes of her book. It's a workbook, and we want you to take part in the process so that we can, you know, bring Saturday mornings back into action and really, really get to the root of her message here. So with that,
Nick, definitely.
And where's that website once again, Kiasi, before we start our talk with Nick?
My website is writtenbykids.com.
All right, writtenbykids.com. And we're going to have you expound a little bit more about that. So let's find out about Nick. Nick, what is your earliest remembrance of yourself coming from St. Elizabeth, Jamaica? What do you remember? When did you get here? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Okay. What happened?
I don't know. Kiasi was messing with the button somewhere. I don't know.
Hey, that's not cool.
Well, you know what? With pancakes and maybe some syrup dripping between the keys, who knows? What's your earliest remembrance of being here when you said ta-da?
Yeah, I remember, you know, I remember kind of distinctively my dad picking me up from the airport as we arrived in America. Because my dad came here earlier, maybe 3 or 4 years before he was able to bring my mother and I up. So I remember.
Wait, let me stop you right there because you're talking about the United States, and I'm talking about what is your earliest remembrance of existing in life. So when you were born in St. Elizabeth, Jamaica, and what is your earliest remembrance of the homeland?
I remember as a kid, I remember going to school. I remember, you know, being in my brown uniform and my shoes and my lunchbox. I definitely remember some ass whoopings for sure. Some of those were unforgettable. I'm Jamaican, so you know, we get beatings out there. You know, so.
Oh my goodness.
I remember some of those, but you know, I remember I have a lot of pictures. You know, good thing my parents took a lot of pictures, so it's cool to kind of Once I see him, there's certain things that spark. Like, we had this picture. It's a really great picture of me and my parents that it's actually my favorite. It's, like, very small, and I'm, like, standing up, but, like, I'm, like, in between them. And
mm-hmm.
I remember, in the picture, there's you see this tree, and I remember climbing that tree. It's a mango tree that was in front of our yard. So I remember, like, climbing that tree and stuff like that. But, I mean, I was young. I came here when I was, like, four.
So before you get to being here in the United States now, so you remember as a child this picture and being there, your earliest existence is you're between your parents and this mango tree. Now, you climbed the mango tree? Did you pick the mangoes?
I remember the lizards on the tree. I remember the lizards would freak me out, but I would still climb. It's funny how you actually, like, that stuff has an impression on you even, like, 30 years later, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Isn't that the truth, Kiyoshi? Can you imagine the vivid colors, the lizard, the tree, the climbing, the picking of the mangoes?
Definitely.
I do.
That actually
reminds me.
I was going to say that definitely reminds me of the time I went to South Africa with my family. Though it was many, many years ago, I definitely remember just the scenery and how beautiful and warm it was. You know, things like that, I think they're permanently kind of stitched into your brain.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds wonderful. So you have been, oh, my goodness. So I'm getting jealous over here.
We need to take you out the country. We need to show you around, like.
Definitely. Yes, I'm not getting out enough. I need to run with the young set. Wow, so Jamaica. Kiyoshi, have you ever been to Jamaica?
I haven't. It sounds like a really nice place, though.
I mean, it's all right if you're a tourist. it's very important. I mean, there's a reason why we came here.
Well, you know, and we can understand that because every people have their struggle. We'll just say that. You know, everyone has their struggle. So every nation, every land, all people have their struggle. So let me ask you this, because I'm sure Kiyoshi and I at some point will get to Jamaica as tourists. I know when you grow up, you know, when you grow up in a certain place, you know, that you can't wait to grow up and move. That's, you know, that's common. But let me ask you this. So how many brothers and sisters do you have, and what order of the ranks are you in?
So I got I am the oldest, and I got a little sister who actually just got engaged last week. She's 26. Yeah. The family is excited. I don't know how I really feel about it yet. I'm still trying to figure it out as an older brother.
Right.
And then I got a little brother that's 22. Both my brother and sister live in Florida. And so do my parents. They all kind of scattered out in Florida, and I'm still in New York.
Okay, all right. So you're in New York. We have Mr. Bruce George, the creator and co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam in New York. So we want to give a shout-out to him. He is our executive producer at Tribe Family Channel. So, woohoo!
And that's where that 347 number came from.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. So you're the oldest, and you're not quite sure how you feel about your baby sister being engaged. That's funny. I was talking to Kiyoshi's dad, and I told him, I said, okay, you know, this CEO in training, right, Kiyoshi? I'm telling him, just wait. There's going to be that time when you're telling him, you know, you know, you'll be like under 20, letting him know, okay, this is what the written by kids is taking off, and you have this anti-bullying campaign, and you're making decisions, young lady. So, you know, we understand how those dynamics play out when it's a little sister, Nick, because we've got Kiasi here. This young lady is on fire, and we just want to honor that. So let me ask you this. Who were your childhood idols, mentors, or your greatest influencer?
Childhood idols, mentors, greatest influencer. I don't think I like idolized anybody. I mean, I never necessarily saw somebody as far as in the spotlight and said I wanted to be them when I was a child. I think every kid kind of has a dream to, you know, maybe a dream or a fantasy to play basketball just because, you know, they like to watch basketball, play basketball. I was always kind of impressed by my father. My parents had me pretty young. So it was, we kind of grew up together, if that makes any sense. My parents were teenagers when they had me. So, I think kind of just watching my dad just be, the caretaker, the family. I think I was always kind of impressed by that, just the fact that it's him, and he didn't look, he looked a lot younger than like the rest of my friends' dads, which, you know, when you get older, you realize, oh, my parents were teenagers. That's why they looked so young. You know?
That's why they were so cool and could relate to the homework and all that, right? Oh, wow. That's cool. That's cool. So now, when you did move to the States, tell us about that experience. You're coming in from Jamaica, your first impression of arriving at, you know, in the United States.
So my dad came here maybe 3 or 4 years earlier than my mom and I. He was here with my grandmother, kind of just doing that transition, man. Sometimes it just takes a pebble to turn into a boulder, you know, once the pebble starts rolling down a hill. And my grandma was that pebble. And then she, you know, used my dad to kind of assist her, brought my dad up here to kind of assist her and kind of starting some sort of foundation as far as like a home and to one by one bring everybody up. So maybe about 3 years after I was born, my dad was able to bring me and my mother up. And then I remember, like I was saying earlier, I remember my dad, like, because it was cold in New York. I lived in tropical weather all my three life. I remember my dad putting this jacket on me. I still remember. I told him the other day, actually. And it had, like, it was a baseball jacket. And it had red sleeves, like, navy blue midsection. And it had, like, a white little baseball on, like, one of the, like, so I remember that. I remember him, like, me getting off the plane and, like, him placing that jacket on me. Like, I literally remember the moment I arrived here. Everything else was kind of foggy, but I remember that,
Wow. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine him going from Jamaica, coming here, and that whole change?
Exactly, yeah. It's hard for me just switching schools, so I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, I think that you don't realize it when you're that young. You know, none of that makes any sense. It doesn't. I think once you get older and you realize that as a moment in time as that was, where you're just like you're arriving here. When you're a kid at that age, you're just arriving somewhere new. It's cold. But when you're an adult and you look back at it, you're like, wow, that's the moment. Like, my life could have changed, and that's the moment my parents like started chasing their American dream. That's literally the moment my parents started chasing. So when you look back at it like that, like, you know, the fact that my dad came here early to set up a foundation for my mother and I, and then bring, you know, some fathers would have never been like, all right, you guys are in Jamaica, I'm here figuring this out. You guys figure it out, that, you know. And made that effort to make sure he brought us up. So,
right.
So,
and it's amazing.
So, yeah.
Brought up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it was. It's amazing, you know, going back to the matriarch, your grandmother, and then her planting that seed. She knew exactly what she needed to do to influence your father, to then perpetuate the movement of his family to a better life. And so when you look at the, it's like a diaspora, if you will. You know, you're leaving and migrating, if you will, to better lands and better options and better opportunities. And this is what families did. And so it's just amazing
to hear that story. And continue to do. I mean, one of the reasons why it's so, you know, politics is so, and just perception of things is so jaded in society is that people don't, they've never experienced that, and their interpretation of immigration and laws and just like letting people out or whatever and having certain rules on people who come here, they don't look at the examples that are myself and look at the examples that are, or they don't put themselves in that position. You know, I'm very, very aware life could have been very different for me. You know, I'm very aware of it. And then I have friends on who are very affluential, you know. And, I mean, I live in Westchester, you know, and travel to Connecticut. I have friends who are very, very affluential. And when I speak to them about stuff like this, they kind of blow it off. And I'm like, yo, you're me. I'm living my American dream. When they're in that perspective, like, this is someone they know that arrived here whose parents didn't go to high school, who didn't like, who came here nothing. My mom says it all the time. She said, when I first came here, I was making $3.75 an hour. You know, like I spend more of that on coffee.
I've seen your Instagram post, the gifts and the presents, and the other day you're shopping for cheese.
you know,
you're doing it big. Yeah. So it's amazing because you're basically telling Kiyaki and I that, you know, you are humble and you realize, you know, and you're trying to let your friends understand, you know, that where they may be, you know, affluent, they may not connect with, you know, the small beginnings of people that are coming here that want to find a better way of life. And I'm glad that you brought that aspect up. Kiyaki, do you know anyone that lives outside of the United States, or has your book or anyone told you about your book being outside of the United States?
It's kind of hard to think about that. I definitely know that my books are outside of the United States.
That is awesome. Well, we're going to have to make sure we get them out in Jamaica. Before you go off of the air with us, Nick, we want to know, you know, we want you to name the school that you went to and, you know, perhaps
they
will hear.
Wow, I wouldn't even know that.
I
was like three. That's a lifetime. I mean, I've been back to Jamaica just vacation, but at three I wasn't checking on what school I went to.
Wow. Well, now let me ask you this. Okay, so, you know, moving to the States and you get here. Now, when did you know that you could sing or that you wanted to sing? When did you feel that?
I never, you know, music wasn't like a big part of my family. We listened to music. My mom, we were always entertained by music. My mom is the biggest Whitney Houston fan alive, as far as I know. But like, no one played any instruments in my family or anything like that. I think I always kind of had a niche for just kind of being a center of attention. Like, whether it just be, you know, even though I'm the youngest of all my cousins will all admit that I was probably the more popular cousin of all them all, just because I would always just be the center of attention for whatever reason. I always wanted to, like, perform, but I never necessarily knew if it was, like, if music was a thing that I wanted to do. And I actually have only been doing music for maybe 4 or 5 years now. It's kind of weird. It kind of just one of those things where, you know, you always have that itch to scratch, and I never like to live my life having not answered any of those questions, so I need to scratch that itch.
Right, right. I understand. I understand that. Okay, okay. Let me ask you this. Okay, so because I was thinking that perhaps as a youth, you know, you were using something, an object, and pretending to sing, and but
no,
if
I
you
wish.
Weren't.
I
would
be
okay.
Usher if that would have cared. I'd be,
you didn't take
I'd be
the
so
brush
good right
and
now.
Pretend. You didn't take your hairbrush or anything and pretend to sing
I,
in it?
I didn't. Nah, I can't
that.
Sing. That's the thing. I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I would walk through Central Park singing to every pretty girl I saw if I could sing.
Uh-oh.
So it's probably a good thing I can't sing.
All right. So then that means you did not mimic any entertainers because these were some of my questions. No,
I didn't
so
mimic
who would
any
you
entertainers.
Think? Okay. All right. Well,
I mean, I like to rap, so, you know, Jay-Z. I'm a New Yorker, so I think everybody in some way kind of mimics Jay-Z at one point in their life if you grew up here in New York. But because music wasn't necessarily at the forefront when I was thinking just like future and careers and aspirations, it wasn't anything that I practiced. I think if there was anyone that I kind of really admired once I got older enough to kind of figure out what I would want to do with my personality, it would be
mm-hmm.
Regis Philbin.
Mm-hmm.
Kiyasi, you might not know who Regis Philbin is, but before the Kelly and Michael show, there was the Regis and Kelly show, and before that,
mm-hmm.
there was the Regis and Marie, is it, show?
I don't remember. Who was before Kelly?
Kathy Griffin.
Oh, okay.
Kathy.
I remember
Regis
and Kelly, and I'm telling you, Kiyasi, you might be too young, but you talk about a silly couple of talk show hosts that rib each other and just,
yeah,
you know.
Regis is the greatest
is
of all time,
going?
As far as I'm concerned. He's just the greatest of all time. He's the greatest. Most, I remember because I remember just seeing my aunt, how she would react just when she would watch, like, you know, she doesn't start her morning without watching, like, Regis and Kelly or now Michael and Kelly. And I remember
mm-hmm.
just the joy that she would just get from watching mm-hmm. and just like it would, she, you know, before she even turned on her coffee machine, it was like she had to see that. So I remember just wanting to be that person for people, but not necessarily knowing how to do it. So I kind of just, you know, looked up to Regis and being like, all right, if whatever he does, I want to do. And how do I do that?
Awesome. Well, you know, I really appreciate your answers. If I think of anything else, I'll jump in here. But now I want to turn you over to Kiyasi, and she's going to ask you some questions leading up into adulthood and, you know, where you are now. So I'm going to sit back and listen to the conversation. I want you all to chop it up because we are live on Pancakes. Woo woo.
Kiyasi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
No, I said, how old are you? And I'm glad
how
you're doing
old am
great
I?
Too.
Oh, okay. I'm 14.
Okay, 14. All right, cool.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
So,
what do
14-year-olds
do now? Out of curiosity, what do you guys do?
I don't know. It's different.
What do you
know?
Mean?
Yeah,
no,
it's
you're 14.
For
you should know.
I mean, I'm the kind of person I really like just chilling and like writing poetry or reading or drawing things like that, and I just think it's different for every person, you know. I don't think it really matters the age. I think it's just your interest mostly.
But you're at least whipping and nae-naeing, right?
I've attempted.
I was just curious. All right, you can ask the questions. I'm sorry.
All right, awesome. So I'm new to high school, you know. It's a whole new experience. It's really hard to go from a completely different school. And I came from a different district. And I'm now going to Okemos High School, which is, you know, it's really cool. And
where
I was just wondering.
Where are you at right now?
Where am I at right now?
Like
my high school?
In New York? Is that New York?
No, I live in Lansing, Michigan. Yep.
Michigan.
So I was
Michigan,
just,
okay.
Michigan. I was just wondering what it was like for you entering high school, because I know that that can be a really hard time for a lot of people.
You know, it's my probably high school experience was probably not the norm. I was, like I said, I guess when you're like just used to being, I was always like kind of popular, so I never had any rough patches. I think that you always kind of, you're growing up, you're figuring out who you are, like what you're being shaped, you know, you're at that moment, probably the mold, the clay that you are is starting to harden. And these are like the important years to kind of like shape who you kind of really are going to be. But I think you try to, you know, you're trying to figure that out. And in ninth grade, just like any other ninth grade, I was trying to figure that out. I never really had it. I was the oldest, so I knew that I kind of had to set a certain standard for my younger brother and my younger sister, because whatever I did would be their legacy. So I understood that because I watched enough Saved by the Bell. But, and you're like, Saved by the Bell, what's that? I have no clue. What is that? Damn, we're old. Yeah, it was. I went to New Rochelle High School, you know, the best high school in the world as far as I'm concerned, which was a great mixture of suburban and city as far as exposure to the youth. Like, you know, when you grow up in inner city, you're just exposed to a different demographic, a different lifestyle, a different economical, I don't want to say value, but just like a population of different economics, and things are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
things are very
different. And when you're in a different area that has a little bit more money, things are very different. I think that New Rochelle High School, and New Rochelle in general, gives you the quality of both that you kind of need to go through this world and not lose perspective.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think your high school experience is definitely what you make it. Like you said, you're definitely trying to figure out who you are and what you want to do with your life, which is why I think it's a really hard time. It's like just how a lot of people change their majors. I think that if you don't know what you want to do, it can be a really scary time. And I think that's what high schoolers go through, you know?
That is, but that's why it's high school. You know, you got to go through that. You're 14, so it doesn't really make sense yet, and it won't, because everything feels like when you're 14 that like every single move is a really crucial move to your next day. Like, you know, like everything is so like my life is over. And like, no, you're in a year from now you won't even remember this, but you don't know that at 14. That's why, like, you know. Girls get so hung up over guys and like, I'm never going to find anyone. Like, you're 12, relax, trust me, you got tons of time. But you don't know that. Once you get older, once you get to like, I guess you can really realize it when you get like probably early 20s, you're like, oh yeah, this, you know, this will pass.
Yeah. I know for me, I was just actually talking to my mom a few hours ago, right before I called in, and I was talking to her. I told her, I feel lost, you know, I don't know what I want to do. You know, I don't feel in touch with myself. And
that,
she was just telling
that,
me. Mm-hmm.
That's cool, though. You be lost. Because if you have a specific direction at your age, if you have a specific direction already, I think that do you know the term called tunnel vision?
Definitely. Yeah, I know that term.
So I think that, like, at this age, you don't want to have tunnel vision. You want to have maybe an area or something that you like that interest, but that doesn't mean you leave anything else out, because just like myself, like I said, I didn't know I could do music. I just kind of just didn't, you know what I mean, didn't think about it, and more I thought about it, I was like, oh, maybe I can. So I think that, like, at that age, if I had started to question those myself like that at your age, when, you know, time was more definitely on my side, then I would have probably taken a different path or different career or been better. You know, you never know. Everything happens for a reason. But the point I'm trying to make is getting lost at that age is important. It's really important to be kind of lost, and because you find your way out, you know?
Yeah. my mom is telling me, you know, that it's very normal to feel that way. You know, it's just, it's a part of life. She said everybody goes through it. And she told me that, you know, it's really, really important to live in the moment. But it's really, really important to have goals. Because goals is kind of what I think shapes you as a person. You know, you can start getting ready for what you want to do. So I think that was really awesome of her to say, because I really needed that. Now I was just wondering.
That's very well said. Yeah. That's very well said for a 14-year-old. But then you got books out there. I mean, I'm talking to a whole different class of 14-year-old right now.
thank you. Now I was just wondering, were you a good student in high school?
I was terrible.
Oh, no.
I was terrible.
Why?
Yeah. I wasn't terrible as in, like, failing things. I think I was an academic underachiever. I will admit that and say I spent more the time I could have been in books, I spent more just, like, being the fact that, you know, just being in the know, just kind of being hip. And girls and stuff like that. But, you know, it's I work hard enough to, like, get, like, C's, occasional A, maybe more middle B's. I didn't really like buckle down. Academics was super pushed in my family, but it wasn't like how it was for, like, some of my African friends. Like, man, those African parents, like, they're militant about that, those studies. But it was pushed, but it wasn't, like, forced. I think that my parents kind of just let me be myself within reason. My dad always, though, like, if my dad never not let me know I wasn't doing better than I could. You know, like, I wasn't doing better. It wasn't like, oh, you got a C? All right, cool. It was always a talk. There was always, like, you should be, you know, the amount of time you do this, you could be doing that. And, like, because they knew I was bright, but I was also caught up in the fact that, like, I was played basketball, I was popular, you know, girls like me. But, you know, I was kind of one of those guys. You know? I can't change that, but that's what it was. You grow out of it, you know.
Definitely. Nice.
So the guy that you think is, like, at school right now, that's like, oh my God, he's like all about himself. Like, he's actually going to turn out to be a nice guy, trust me.
Well, I don't really think that about people unless I get to know them personally, you know? I try not to judge people, you know? Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely. Being a good student is important. I'm glad that you weren't bad.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not saying it's very important. I mean, looking back, there's plenty of things that I look back, I wish I did. I wish I just read more. I got a friend that reads, like, I don't even know. Amanda, how many books did you read this year? She read tons of books, and, like, she's, you know, she's one of the smartest people I know. But
That's
she's
great.
Always been in the habit of reading. So I kind of wish I did that more, just instinctively. So, yeah, there is a very importance on education. I mean, I'm definitely going to place a higher importance on education on my children one day. Since I know how to master to slack off. Like, get up.
Yeah. You know, something that you said, I just really wanted to quickly talk about this because I think that it's really important. When you were talking about your grades, and I think that with your grades, I just feel like, you know, some students need to hear this sometimes. They don't get to hear this enough, but I just think that as long as you try your best, that is all you can do. There's always room for improvement,
true.
Of course, but you try your best. You know, you can't be too harsh on yourself because you are your worst critic, you know?
True.
I just think that people definitely need to be told that every once in a while, you know?
And sometimes where is your genius? Some people's genius doesn't necessarily lie in their academics. You know, everyone says Bill Gates was a genius. Right? He dropped out of college. You know, Mark Zuckerberg was a genius. He dropped out of college. Jimi Hendrix was a genius. He dropped out of, he even graduated high school, I don't think. You know, so sometimes it's just about finding where your genius is at an early enough age and then going from there.
And then excelling from that point, definitely. Just like how we were talking about not having tunnel vision. Sweet. So when you were in high school, what kind of classes did you take? Did you like acting, singing, theater, or was it mostly basketball for you?
Everything you just said I wish I did besides basketball, I played. I wish I did acting, singing, theater, but like when you especially grow up in, like I lived in the Bronx until I moved to New Rochelle. And so we didn't have like access to like theater and all that stuff. We used basketball. So like my whole life I was like, when I'm able to play ball, I'm going to play ball like for the team. And, and New Rochelle though had all of that. New Rochelle had all of that, and I never, it's just because I had this tunnel vision, you know, I just had the perception of how I wanted to be, how I wanted to be viewed, and like, you know, everybody always, you know, you always kind of felt like the theater people were kind of weird, but like,
yeah,
but then you grow up and you're like, man, they weren't that weird. They're like, now they're like on SNL or something.
Sweet, nice, okay. So, as you've been told, my campaign on bullying addresses peer pressure. So I was just wondering, were you ever bullied, or were you fortunate enough to not have to face that type of thing? Or did you see it going on? Did you do anything about it?
Oh, man. I actually have a really great story of this, actually. Let me see if I can pull this up so I can read it for you. So the other day, a friend of mine from middle school messaged me on Facebook. And I'm going to try to read it for you, see if I can pull it up. And basically she just, you know, now we are adults. You're talking about middle school, so that was like 11, 12, 13. You know, and now this is like, you know, we're 30, 31, years later. And she messaged me because there was something about a moment where apparently, and I remember the moment, but you don't realize that, like, it's stuff like that stays with people for so long. She was being bullied, and she said that I noticed it, and because I for whatever reason, I had some sort of clout, and I walked over to her and, like, spoke with her and was like, hey, I'm going to do my best to make sure nobody bothers you. I didn't even really know her like that, but I just saw that, like, everybody picked on her. And
that's
she said,
amazing.
Till this day, she remembers that.
Wow.
And it's like one of those things she tells everybody about, which is so not one of those things where I would think, you know what I mean? Like, you don't remember, think something like that, you know, when we're at sixth grade, stayed with somebody that long. Really kind of a humbling feeling, actually.
Definitely. That's really important. That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah, definitely. When you see bullying going on, you need to stop it or get someone that can help you stop it, like a teacher, a principal, or anything like that. It's amazing how stuff like that just sticks with the person, you know? Because a lot of people, they don't have the guts to help because they're just like, if I don't see it, it's none of my business, and you walk away. And that's bad because the bullying, it sticks with people until they're older, and just the things that you're told when you're bullied can affect really the way you are every day. Because, like, if you get told you're a terrible person every day, you're eventually going to start believing it and then acting like it. And it's just a disaster. And I think that it was amazing that to her, and you told her that, because that let her know that someone was on her side when nobody could have been on her side at the school that didn't say anything, you know? That's amazing.
Yeah, no,
awesome.
It was probably one of the more the more touching things that I've received in a while. This was actually, I just pulled up the conversation. It was in October. Actually, let me read it to you. Because I can recount this story. She says, she writes, I've been at a psychology conference all weekend, just got my master's in general psychology, started my second master's in mental health counseling, and I've been working as a sexual assault, domestic violence victim advocate, and doing most of my research on bullying.
during one of the workshops today, I remembered and shared the most important experience I've ever had regarding someone presenting themselves in my life as a quote-unquote rescuer. I guess that's a term people use in the anti-bullying campaign. She says it was in eighth grade, and I was in the hallway about to leave for the bus out by the main outside of Albert Leonard Middle School. You had grabbed a couple of the boys I know, and you approached me and addressed me as sis, and you told me that you and the guys noticed I'd been getting bullied, and you told me that you would try to look out for me. She says it was the most incredible, touching, effective, moving experience that I've ever had in my life, and I told the story at least 100 times because of how meaningful that moment was. The world needs many people more like you. The world needs many more people like you watching your progress and success. It warmed my heart, and I can't wait to see how much more you have to accomplish. So, yeah, that was probably the most touching thing anybody has ever said to me.
Yeah, definitely. I could see that.
And I haven't spoke to this girl since, Lord knows, you know, just the fact that, like, that stayed with her since middle school.
Yeah, she remembered.
I suppose.
Yeah. Now imagine what it would have been like if you wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
You know, well, nothing. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's been said that, you know, genius is common, and everybody has a genius, and we want you to visit geniusiscommon.com to express yours someday. So, but would it be okay if you kind of told us what your genius is right now?
Yeah, my genius. That's a good question. What is my genius? Hold on 1 second. Sorry. This is a live interview, but I'm actually, there's a package being delivered. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Fine.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're an adult. You get like packages and stuff. Yeah. Like mail comes to the door. What is my genius? My genius is figuring out different ways to just make my dream come true. That's my
genius.
I think that right there, because I know I'm make it happen, and it's just going to be a very crazy gumbo pot of doing this, doing that, yada, yada, and then it all kind of just comes into this one magnificent thing. And that's where my genius, I think, lies, in knowing that, like, kind of like, I don't know, I guess gumbo might be the best and not the best example, but, like, you know, someone was smart enough to know if you put all these different things that by standing alone, they don't seem like much. By themselves, they're not that much. But when you put them all together in this one pot, you get this amazing dish that nobody would have ever thought could have been made from all these separate things. I think that is my genius. I think I'm putting all these different things in one pot, and cooking an amazing gumbo. And I think that the genius in it is that I'm doing it without. And I'm trying, at least I should say. I am doing it. I'm doing it with the second guessing of a lot of people, because, you know, no one thought. Who would have thought if you put all these different things in a pot of gumbo, it'll make some gumbo? You know, because by itself, it doesn't stand alone. So I think that's my genius. My genius is that I'm figuring it out. I'm figuring out how to make my own Nick Brown pot of gumbo of amazingness that is one day going to allow some sort of freedom.
Definitely.
For the ones that I love. So yeah.
You're making me hungry.
You're making me hungry.
All right. Oh yeah. So it's actually really funny you say that, because I made a video and I was talking about my genius, and I said that mine was setting goals and achieving them, because at the age of 11 I became a published author, because that's what I always wanted to do with my life. I was always about reading and writing and drawing, you know. So I think that it's really cool.
I think that's really cool. Like to say, like, at such a young age, like, I want to write a book, you know, and to do it, and to, because anybody can write a book, but to actually have it like printed and published is making your your desire actual, you know, in actuality.
Yeah, you just got to put it out there, you know. You say, I want to do this, and you do everything you need to do to achieve it. That's what I was talking about with the whole goal-setting thing. Yeah. So what advice do you have for budding CEOs like me?
Budding CEOs like you, what advice do I have? A great actress told me once that you're smart enough to know that you don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as you're coming up, as you're looking for ways to build your brand and to be a better author or person, continuously, no matter how much you grow and how much you learn and how much life changes, every single time just approach a situation like you don't know everything. Because if you act like that, that is what allows you to really grow and to think outside the box. And in business and in life, I think that answers both those necessary things for it to succeed.
Definitely. Great advice. Thank you. Thank you for talking to
You're
me.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, thank you for taking – I mean, I know it's a Thursday night. You know, you got school in the morning. Like, you know, I'm really appreciate you taking the time out to let me bore you with my life stories.
You guys are too much. I am so enjoying this conversation, and we still have more time to go. So before we go any further, Nick and Kiasi, give us 2 minutes to honor our sponsor.
Greetings. My name is Bruce George, and I'm the founder of the slogan, Genius is Common. The word genius is an elitist word. Of the elitist, for the elitist, and by the elitist. And what Genius is Common basically is doing is it is tearing down the Berlin Wall of the word genius. What I would like for you to do is to join us around the world in tearing that elitist word down and putting it in the hands of the people where it belongs. In actuality, we are all geniuses. We all have a genius seed. Some call it God, some call it other things. You take a young lady who's from an inner city project, housing project, who microbraids hair like Picasso painted, that's her genius. You take a gentleman that has been buffing floors for over 40 years where the floor looks like it's wet but it's dry, that's his genius. What we're doing around the world is we are uploading videos to YouTube expressing what our individual genius is. We would love for you to join us with this campaign. When you upload your video, make sure that you include the hashtag #GeniusIsCommon and GeniusIsCommon.com. We're looking forward to you being a part of this movement.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in live to Pancakes on Tribe Family Channel. You are tuned in with Beverly Black Johnson, the creator of Tribe Family Channel, and my co-host, Kiasi Helm, who has been talking with Nick Brown, formerly and most famously known from MTV's The Real World Hollywood. Are you guys still there?
I am.
Yeah, I am still here, still here.
All right, all right. Well, you know what? That was an amazing interview and conversation that I witnessed with the two of you. And just to hear the high school experiences and what have you, I'm going to have to testify that I was called out at my high school reunion, and someone told me that I had actually bullied her. And I was so shocked, and I was so, I just couldn't believe it. And I had to be reflective and ask myself, what was happening with me. So first I apologized to her, and I told her that I was not that same person, because this was like 20 years later at a high school reunion. And so just like the two of you were discussing, you don't know what is left with that person. And so that's why I am coming forward live on this radio show to the two of you. And Kiasi, I talked to your dad about this, and I feel that it is my absolute duty to tell you this, because with your campaign against bullying, I am the first to testify from the other side, having been called that, and not giving excuses, but I was in the ninth grade, so if I reflect back to the ninth grade, I didn't have any direction. So I would think that that would have been a acting out. I remember from the 10th, 11th, and graduating that I wasn't acting out. So in the ninth grade, arriving in high school, and apparently I don't have enough direction and focus. So it is imperative for parents to be very, very hands-on and ensure that you know what is going on with your kids, and ensure that they aren't bullying anyone and acting out, being misguided or misdirected with their energy. And we can't make any excuses for it, and so I am not offering any other than a sincere apology and a huge, huge debt of gratitude to you, Kiasi, for your bullying prevention guide for parents, kids, and adults. And I want to encourage the educators that are listening or who will tune in to the archives to go to Written by Kids and order this prevention guide in bulk, so that you can work through the workbook at home, in the classroom, in the community, and that's the only way we can get to the root of the problem. So I want to thank both of you for listening to me. That is coming from my heart. And coming from Nick Brown's heart, first of all, Nick Brown, let me tell you something. Let me put on my great aunt hat. Your genius show has a lot of gumbo in it, and I just really want you to know that Tri Family Channel is brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International. I am the creator of Gumbo for the Soul publication, and you got gumbo this and gumbo that. I'm getting mad.
I was low key promoting your brand. You didn't see how I did that. You see how I spun it all into one big pot of gumbo.
Okay.
I utilized that example to kind of help promote you.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. My genius is too much to convey. My genius is on display. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
So before we actually go to your song, Leave With You, set up the song for us. Tell us who collaborated on it with you. And then we see the callers that we're going to go to after the song Leave With You by Nick Brown. So set up the song for us, Nick.
Wait, you have some callers there ready?
Oh, we've had callers holding for a while.
Okay, cool. So the song Leave With You. Leave With You is my baby. I love that song. I wrote that song just experiencing. I was out in spring break, South Padre, and I wrote that song while just going through, having a good time, meeting people, and met this girl I really liked. And the song is kind of about just like me meeting with her at the, like me bumping into her at the club and then just trying to get to know her. So the song is called Leave With You. I wrote it. I also produced it with my producer, G. Spence. And the R&B singer, his name is Brian Bautista. Brian Bautista, I actually found when I was writing the song, I heard a voice, in, like a certain voice that I wanted singing it.
And when I was writing a song, I didn't really have an idea who, I didn't know anybody that with that particular voice. And a friend of mine took me to the New Jersey Nets game when they were playing the Raptors in the playoffs. And so she had really great seats and all this stuff. And so we go, and she's like, yeah, I hope my singing usher is here. And I was like, your singing usher? She was like, yeah, there's a kid. He works here as, like, one of the guys, like the ushers that seat people. And they let him sing the national anthem sometimes because he got a good voice. And so I was like, really? That's pretty odd. And so anyways, I end up, like, looking it up and then seeing, like, the New York Daily News do a story on it and all this different stuff. And then I don't know, something just told me to listen to it, like, figure it out. And then I heard him sing, like, the national anthem. And, I mean, I hear people sing national anthem all the time. But what I heard was I just heard the voice that I heard from my song. So, like – and it was just kind of weird, like, yo, that's the voice I hear that sings my song.
Wow.
And so I contacted him, like, just from researching on the internet. And that's the beauty of the internet is that, like, once you got somebody's name, they more or less will have some sort of either social media contact or something. So, like, it took me maybe a few hours to kind of, like, track down an email, and then I emailed him. Gave him my idea and who I am and what I do. And then we met up one day at in Union Square in New York City. And I just was like, hey, man, I got this song. I really think you'd sound great on it. And I let him listen to it, and he's like, let's do it. And so, I mean, the rest is kind of history.
All right. Well, here we go with Leave With You by Nick Brown, live on 10 Cakes via Tribe Family Channel.
Relentless. Don't want the steam. Don't want them.
Miles, bring your bottles to the whole clique. VIP for the crew that I roll with. Call your friends, they can join in the fun too. Shot one, shot two, I look at all of you. My mama super thick, oh yeah, she hella fine. Got no time to waste, I don't need no blurred lines. And it's nice to be in the club, don't know what to do. Now don't worry, me, smooth going, same with you.
You came to strut in your stuff. And girl, you caught my eye. That sexy dress you got on, girl. Gotta make you mine tonight. Cause if you came for the best in this club, I'ma what you're trying to do. Keep shaking it and moving your hips, baby. Cause I'm trying to leave with you. You came all this way, and I know you're so tired. I'm worth it, baby. Gonna be a hell of a night. Cause I won't tell nobody, baby. All the things we gon' do, all the things we gon' do. So won't you let me in your world? Oh, what I'm gon' do to you. Cause if you came for the best in this club, if you came for the best in this club,
trying to go. If you're moving too fast, I can switch your flow. Not who you came with, but who you came to see. Party back in my place, drinks on me. Shout to Indiana, Missouri, MSU. South Dakota, Kansas, ain't know what to do. Said you only Padres, just a world week spring. But that's all I really need to get the kitty week. I love your face, girl, hand on your waist, girl. Finger licking, wanna know how it tastes, girl. You with me and it ain't no way we stopping. And my team, cause we keep the party popping. You know you about to have the time of your life. We gonna do everything and all in one night. So while your friends, pussy block, he acting corny. Don't worry about him, you can tell him in the morning.
Loving Leave With You. The phone lines are lighting up, and so I'm going to go ahead and start taking some of the calls. Caller 517, area code 517. You are on Live with Tribe Family Channel, our premiere of Pancakes, so that we are in the know with parents, letting them know what is on the forefront for January 26th. Our co-host is Kiyasi Helm. Who do we have on the line with us?
Robert Helm, Kiyasi Helm's father.
Well, hello, Robert Helm. Meet our guest, Nick Brown, formerly and most famously known for that song you just heard, Leave With You, and MTV's The Real World Hollywood. Say hello to Robert Helm, Kiyasi's father, Nick.
How you doing, Mr. Helm?
I'm doing excellent, Mr. Brown. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing good. Very impressed by your little daughter right now. She's amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
She is absolutely amazing, and we're thankful that you called in. Robert, tell us how. Did you have a question or a comment for Nick, or did you want to make a comment to your daughter?
Well, you know, I have to be honest. I just actually dialed in, so I haven't had an opportunity to hear much of the show. But I do have a comment to make both to Mr. Brown and to Kiyasi. And one, I just wanted to encourage both of you to continue, you know, promoting the initiatives of Kiyasi, bullying prevention, and Mr. Brown. You know, just anything that you can do to really encourage the youth, because that is what, you know, our goal is. My goal as a father, our goal as written by kids, and so. Yeah, so I just wanted to encourage you guys to, you know, just stay focused and work hard in 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in with that comment, Mr. Robert Helm, and I would suspect that you'll be able to hold and hear out the rest of the show, and if not, it will be archived live on tribefamilychannel.com. And we're going to go back to this interview while it's winding down.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And so, Nick and Kiyasi, that was just like such a wonderful conversation you two were having. I would like for Nick to take us to the time period from Florida to Hollywood. When you knew that you were going to Hollywood, to the real world, how did all of that come about? Because we're aspiring higher as well, and you never know. When we get that call, we're going to answer it, and we want to know how did you answer it.
I was actually, when I got that call, I was at work. I had just finished college. I just graduated from the University of South Florida, and I was working at the time for a government sector as a business analyst, and then I got the call for the show, and I had usually always ate lunch with one of my supervisors, and after eating, I got the call after we ate lunch one day, normal routine. I get the call, and then I go to her, and I say, hey, I think I'm going to quit, and she was like, what do you mean? And I explained to her, like, I just got this amazing opportunity. And she supported me 100%. And I knew she supported me 100% because she said, here's what I could do. Just in case something doesn't work out, I'm going to keep your spot available for 3 weeks. I was like, that's perfect. So, yeah, and I just, maybe, was it 48 hours later, I didn't even have enough time to kind of, like, move out of my apartment. My parents came to my apartment and moved me out because I had to fly to Hollywood, like, within 2 days. So.
Wow. So reenact that call. What did they say? Nick, we want you. Did you audition for it previously?
Yeah.
And...
yeah. So my story is a little different because, I mean, a lot of people don't really necessarily know that, like, I started a little later on in the season because I wanted to graduate school. And I guess one of the questions was that when they initially started filming, it was going to be around the time when I was going to miss graduation. And I guess they had asked me that, like, hypothetically, but not knowing that it was a real thing. And I was like, I would never skip college graduation, even if, like, I could go back and get it. I just knew that it was that important to, like, my parents and my family. And so I just would never. So they had started filming, and they had someone else in mind that could start filming. And then so that didn't work out, which a friend of mine told me that it wouldn't work out. Even at the time, he was like, yo, don't trust me. Something's going to happen. And I got the call, and the executive producer, Jim Johnson, he calls me, and he's like, is this Nick Brown? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, this is Jim Johnson, executive producer of The Real World. And I was like, how are you? And he was like, great. He was like, well, we really wanted you, and I guess now we can have you. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, we want you on the show. Like, can you still do the show? And I said, yeah. And I'm like, and I'm thinking that meaning, like, for next season, because I know they had already started filming. And he was like, no, like, we need you, like, within the next 48 hours. And I was like, what? And he's like, welcome to the real world. And I was like, what?
Wow.
So, like, I ran outside and I freaked out for a little bit. I ran outside,
right,
like my office, and just ran far and just had like a yes, you know, just like a crazy freak out moment. And then like I left, and I mean, I think that, you know, I guess that's how it's gonna feel when, like, my next desire has been reached, because That was something I had kind of wished that would happen, and it happened. Like, that was probably, I don't think there was a more joyful moment in my life than getting that news, to be honest with you. Besides graduating college, was actually really emotionally driven. But, like, as far as, like, so many different emotions going off at once, college.
That life-changing breakthrough.
Yeah, when you just know, you knew, like, you know, something was going to, you're going to be on a different path. Like, things are going to be different.
Right.
And, like, I always say that the show didn't change my life in the aspect of, you know, like, you know, made me rich, or, like, gave me, you know, access to amazing things. What it did for me was it kind of solidified or verified that I was meant to be, like, in entertainment, like, some way, some shape, some form. Because I always knew that the crazy thing about that is, prior to me graduating college, I remember having this conversation with my dad, and he was just like, man, I'm so proud of you. Like, you know, this is, might have been, like, a week or two before I graduated. And he was like, I'm so proud of you, man. Like, you know, just kind of like, I'm the first, like, person in our immediate family to go and graduate school, as well as, like, the first male grandchild. So, like, it was like, you know, big deal, family coming down from Georgia and New York and all this different stuff. And and I was like, you know, dad, like, this is, I know it's a big deal, but, like, I was like, I don't know. It's like, you know, and I had a really great job at the time, like, getting ready to get into a really great job out of college. I was like, yeah, it's what I went to school for, and it's, like, cool. It's, like, it's not really what I want to do. And he's like, so what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know yet. I was like, I know what I want to do, though. I want to make money just from being me and doing, like, just whatever sort of talents I have. I don't necessarily know. And, like,
he didn't make sense to him. And at the same time, it didn't make sense to me either, but I knew that's just what I felt.
Definitely.
You have to follow your passion, though.
Yeah, but it's even scarier when you don't know what your passion really is, you know. So,
right.
But you know it's definitely not what you're currently doing, you know. And to take the say any sort of gut feeling to remove that is hard, is really hard. And I think that like. You know, I probably if it was never for the show, I would have never tried to do anything in entertainment. I think I would have been really content with seriously. I don't think it would have been, you know. I mean, it's scary to kind of look back at how much different my life would have been. I would. There's no doubt in my mind. I would be like married with a child or kids right now. Life would be different. Yeah, life would definitely be different. I wouldn't have traveled to any of the countries I've been to. I wouldn't have seen the things that I've seen. I'm sure I would have experienced life from a different realm, but it definitely wouldn't have been as gratifying to know that I've given a really great shot at what I wanted to do. And even if it's for a little bit, I lived life on my terms. You know, so
right.
Wow.
So that's what the show did for me. You know, that's what it did. It gave me, it gave me the courage to say, all right, you know what? Now I'm gonna really try to figure this entertainment thing out, or how to just figure out how to continuously just do, and make money and make a living from being me and using any sort of talents I have, and that's not, and just so you know, it's not. About like, oh, I could do this. I also, just like a basketball player, you know, you have to take the steps to whatever talent you're trying to search for, you have to take the steps to try to figure it out. So I take like improv classes. I go to like workshops to try to like really hone in on whatever skills I can have to make myself better.
All right. Well, you mentioned being able to travel the world in all of the different countries. Tell Kiasi and I where you have been so that we can aspire one day to do as much traveling as you're having fun doing.
Where
right,
have
Kiasi?
I been?
Definitely, yeah.
So I've been to this year I went to Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and last year I went to Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, and the year before that I went to Australia, and then before that New Zealand, before that Peru, France, Mexico, Jordan. I've been all over.
That's amazing! Wow.
Yeah. So I try to travel to a. Well, I was actually supposed to be going. This is actually the first time in 4 years that – this is the first December in 4 years that I'm not planning – because I usually go January, February – that I'm not planning a big, you know, two-month trip in some foreign country just because this I just didn't feel like this year was going to – 2016 was going to allow it. So – But I try to travel every year. That's kind of one of the things about that I love about kind of being my own boss is that I can kind of go and, you know, take advantage of things like that and not have to be worried about if, you know, how much time I have off and like how much paid overtime and all this different stuff. I just kind of I don't really, you know, if my boss is going to be mad if I wait 2 weeks. Yeah, I know. I mean,
I
get it.
But
here's the thing, Kiasi, is you know there's just what you're willing to sacrifice. Because I don't have that, I also sacrifice the security of someone who does have that 9-to-5. That you know what your paycheck is looking like every month. So I sacrifice something. You know, everything you gotta have to sacrifice is just if you're willing to sacrifice for it. The security factor I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm not necessarily willing to sacrifice the peace of mind and the freedom factor yet.
Exactly. Mm. And that creativity, that freedom of creativity. Kiyasi,
yes,
I am so
for sure.
blessed that you're a witness to this because, you know, as you build your brand and aspire to where you're going, you're hearing firsthand that, you know, there is nothing like having that, being that independent entrepreneur is basically what Nick is telling us. And Kiyasi is on the cusp of that. Now, before we wind down the show, I just want to thank both of you so much for being here. I want to allow Kiyasi to let us know first where we can find you, give us an overview of what's going on with your bullying prevention campaign, and allow Nick to witness, you know, being able to hear your voice and your message. And
okay,
where we can
awesome.
Find you online again.
All right. So you can find anything that I've ever written on Amazon or on my website, which is www.writtenbykids.com. And my message really is just self-love. I mean, why can't we love everybody, you know? Why is bullying the thing? I think that's really what I'm kind of – I think that's my message now, you know? I was just thinking about – what I'm doing, and that's just what came across. And the Bullying Prevention Guide, our point of that whole book is to stop bullying and prevent it, because it's really meant to open up a dialogue between people, whether it be parents and children or teachers and other teachers, you know? It's really a way to get the dialogue going about what is going on. And I'm just going to use it in the context of a parent and a child, but when you're talking to your child, it's really important to know what's going on in their life, because if you're not involved in your child's life, you're never going to know if they're a bully or even if they're a victim of bullying, you know? So that dialogue is really important, because sometimes even bullies have issues. It's like I know a lot of bullies who now are completely upset with themselves over the fact that they were mean to someone, and they say that it was a lack of attention. Or I was just going through so much at the time that I really just needed someone to take it off on, you know? And that's kind of like one of the books I wrote, which was Bully a Bully with Love. And it was kind of talking about more the perspective of bullying and what was going on in her life to make her bully. And I think that's also very important, because bullying can be prevented. And it's just a terrible thing. It needs to be prevented. Nobody should have to go through, you know, being afraid to come to work or being afraid to come to school because of someone that might hurt them physically, mentally, or emotionally. And that's mostly my message, is that we need love. Thank you.
And that, thank you so very much. And you know what? That is a absolutely wonderful, wonderful way to convey the message and to bring the level of importance that message has. You really hit the nail on the nose for me, because you said lack of attention. And I think because my mother worked nights and would be gone, you know, days, single parenting after my stepfather died, is when I would have been most, you know, in need of attention. And I think that may have been predicated upon the bullying that I did, that I have admitted to have repented, and I received forgiveness. And I want to encourage anyone, that whichever side that you find yourself on, come to the terms that, like Kiyasi says, it can be prevented, because you can do some self-inventory and figure out that your strengths, stress, and going through something that may attribute to these factors that lead you to being a bully, or reach out if you feel that you are being bullied. And like you said earlier in our program, Kiyasi, go to the principal, someone at your school, someone you can trust that will take that next measure of action so that you can be safe and live a joy and free life, like our man Nick Brown over here from, you know, Jamaica to Hollywood, right, Kiyasi?
Jamaica to Hollywood.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's true. From Jamaica to Hollywood.
So Thank you so much, Kiasi. I am so honored that you could take the time to co-host with me. I felt that your message was so very important. I cannot
wait until
we sit down. It's my pleasure. And I cannot wait until we sit down January 2nd, 2016, with Kiasi Helm as my guest, and we will be further dissecting the bullying prevention guide for parents, kids, and adults. So I really, really want to encourage educators, parents, kids, anyone listening to go out and get the book and join us on that show so that you can really, really get into the dynamics of prevention. Nick Brown, run it down. Where can we find you at Mixing the Gumbo?
First of all, thank you guys for having me, Kiasi. I'm very, very excited for the future that you are about to embark on, especially at such a young age, and knowing where you want to go and doing it is an amazing. So I want to thank you for interviewing me and taking the time out. Ms. Beverly Johnson, appreciate you having me on your show, and such a delight to talk to and place me on such a great platform. I appreciate that. So before I even get into where I'm from, thanks for everybody for listening, but you can find me at Nick Brown online for everything. So that's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So that's just at Nick Brown online, one word, or directly on my website, www.nickbrownonline.com.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I am Beverly Black Johnson, the creator of Channel under the brand Gumbo for the Soul International. My mantra is that everyone has a story to tell. Who will you trust to tell yours? Visit gumboforthesoul.com or tribefamilychannel.com, and you can find the rest of our links there. And with that being said, I want to again tell you how honored and privileged I am that we were able to bring this show together. Nick Brown, it's been a pleasure watching you online. You're doing your thing. I want to continue to support you. Your amazing song, Leave With You, it's, you know, charismatic. It brings back that joy of, you know, a guy pursuing his girl and saying, yeah, you're the one. I want to leave with you. And so to all of our listeners out there, y'all need to go out there and get that on iTunes, Leave With You. We're going to leave with that once again. And
just so that
our listeners can hear it, all right?
Awesome.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Pancakes live on Tribe Family Channel. We cannot wait to have our season one show with Kiasi Helm January 2nd, 2016. We want to wish you all a happy holy season. Leave With You by Nick Brown is going to leave it like that.
Relentless.
A friend. Don't want the steam. Don't want them.
Bring your bottle to the whole clique. VIP for the crew that I roll with. Call your friends, they can join in the fun too. Shot one, shot two, I look at all of you. I'm on my super dick, oh yeah, she hella fine. Got no time to waste, I don't need no blurred lines. And it's decisive in the club, don't know what to do. Not a worry, be smooth, go and stay with you.
You came to strut in this club, and girl, you caught my eye. That sexy dress you got on, girl, gotta make you mine tonight. Cause if you came for the best of the show, I'm on what you're trying to do. Keep shaking it and moving your hips, baby, cause I'm trying to leave with you. You came all this way, and I know you're so tired. Promise you I'm worth it, baby.
If we're moving too fast, I can switch your flow. Now who you came with, or who you came to see. Party back in my place, drinks on me. Shout to Indiana, Missouri, MSU. South Dakota, Kansas, ain't know what to do. Since you only pot trades, just a one-week spring. But that's all I really need to get the kitty weak. I love your face, girl, hand on your waist, girl. Finger licking, wanna know how it tastes, girl. You with me, and ain't no way we stopping. And my team, cause we keep the party popping. You know you about to have the time of your life. We gon' do everything in all of one night. So while your friends busy blocking, acting corny, don't worry about them, you can tell them in the morning.
Eric Richard Wade II.